الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أيها الناس أفشوا السلام وأطعموا الطعام وصلوا الأرحام وقوموا بالليل والناس قيام وقوموا بالليل والناس نيام تدخلوا الجنة بسلام أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی has created us and sent us into this world for a definite period to do those things which please him and to strictly abstain from those things which displease him. So the purpose of our life is to carry out the dues of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of our life is to make sure we do not do anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come what may, I will never displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the terminology of Sharia, this is called taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Quran over and over again commands the believers to adopt taqwa. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ittaqullah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ittaqullah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. Adopt taqwa. And taqwa is derived from the word wiqaya, shield. So ittaqullah means create a wiqaya, a shield between yourself and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are various levels of taqwa. To abstain from kufr, shirk and nifaq, infidelity, idolatry and hypocrisy. This is the first level of taqwa. To abstain from innovations, bid'ah, this is the second level of taqwa. To abstain from sinful activities, to abstain from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the third level of taqwa. And thereafter, there are other levels of taqwa. But everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the believers in the glorious Quran and through His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the ahadith, that will be granted to the believers on this third level of taqwa. Abstaining from anything that displeases Allah. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. If the people of the towns, if the people residing in various cities, various towns, various villages, if they had accepted Iman and thereafter if they had adopted this level of taqwa, if they had abstained from everything that displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We would have opened the doors of barakat from the heavens and from the earth. So there is a misunderstanding as far as the word taqwa is concerned. As soon as we hear the word taqwa, Shaitan puts this thought in our minds that yes, taqwa is good. Taqwa is very nice. I wish I also had taqwa. But it is not something I can achieve. Because we think about the highest level of taqwa, which is not compulsory, which is not necessary. It is this level of taqwa which is compulsory. After accepting Iman, after purifying yourself from infidelity, from idolatry, from hypocrisy, to abstain from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is this level of taqwa that is farz. It is this level of taqwa that is demanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is upon this level of taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has promised all the successes of this world and the hereafter. So now we understand that taqwa is very simple. Taqwa is very simple. And if taqwa is fard, if this level of taqwa is fard, then we have to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have granted each and every person the ability to carry out this level of taqwa. Because he is Hakim, he is wise. He cannot command us to do something which is beyond our ability. And if it is within our ability, it must be easy. This is the first thing I would urge all my friends to instill in their hearts and minds. That I have the ability to adopt that level of taqwa which is fard, and upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised all the successes of this world and the hereafter. I have the ability. And if I have the ability, the second thing we need to do today is to make a resolution that from today I will strive to acquire this level of taqwa. Hakim ul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, Rahimahullah Ta'ala says, wo zara si baat, jo khulasa hai tasawuf ka, wo zara si baat, that very simple item, which is the essence of tasawuf. People have misunderstood tasawuf also. When we talk about tasawuf, suluk, tasawuf, tazkiyah, islah, then people tend to walk back, step back. They tend to step back. No, this is something for big people. This is something for ulama. This is something for those who teach hadith. This is something for very, very dedicated and pious people. There is no difference between tasawuf and taqwa. There is no difference between ihsan and taqwa. There is no difference between tazkiyah and taqwa. There is no difference between istiqamah and taqwa. There is no difference between Islam and taqwa. And there is no difference between kamali iman and taqwa. Different names, but they guide us to the same point. Do's and don'ts. Carry out the do's. Fard, wajib, sunnah, muakkada. Stay away from the don'ts. Haram and makruh tahrimi. If we do not carry out a fard, if we do not carry out a wajib, if we do not carry out a sunnah muakkada, Allah becomes unhappy. If we do not abstain from haram, if we do not abstain from makruh tahrimi, Allah becomes unhappy. So making sure that Allah does not become unhappy is taqwa. And when a person goes through the process of tazkiyah, soul purification, through the process of islah, self-rectification, a person acquires this noor of taqwa. And when his heart becomes enlightened with the noor of taqwa, then everything becomes very easy. Wo zara si baat, jo khulasa hai tasawuf ka. That simple point, that simple item which is the essence of taqwa is, ye hai, ki jab nafs kisi hukm ko baja lane mein susti kare to use majboor karke us taat pe lana. Jab nafs susti kare farz ko ada karne mein, when the nafs becomes lazy in carrying out a compulsory command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then to force that nafs to carry out that command of Allah. And when the nafs becomes lazy in abstaining from that which Allah has made unlawful, then to force the nafs to stay away from that unlawful item. This is the essence of tasawuf. And this is what taqwa is. Jab nafs kisi taat ko baja lane mein susti kare, to
نفس کو مجبور کر کے اس طاعت پر لانا, اور جب نفس کسی گناہ سے بچنے میں سستی کرے تو اسے مجبور کر کے اس گناہ سے بچانا. اسی کا نام مجاہدہ ہے. سو دس از دی اسینس آف تصوف, دس از دا جسٹ آف تصوف, دس از دی کور آف تصوف. اینڈ دس کور آف تصوف, دس اسینس آف تصوف, دس جسٹ آف تصوف, اٹ از دس دیٹ از کولڈ مجاہدہ. دس از دی کور مجاہدہ. مجاہدہ, when the nafs is not prepared to carry out a farz, when the nafs is not prepared to carry out a wajib, when the nafs is not prepared to carry out a sunnah muakkada, to force the nafs to carry out that farz, that wajib and that sunnah muakkada, this is mujahada. When the nafs is not prepared to abstain from haram or makruh tahrimi, to force the nafs and make it abstain from haram and makruh tahrimi, this is mujahada. Isi ka naam mujahada hai. Isi se taalluq ma Allah naseeb hota hai. It is through this that a person acquires the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aur isi se taalluq ma Allah mein tarakki hoti rehti hai. And it is through this that a person continually progresses in this special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa, my friend, abstaining from everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come what may, even if we have to give our lives to abstain from that item which will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be prepared to give our lives. Allah will not take our lives. Allah will not take anything from us. Allah never takes, Allah always gives. Allah never takes, He only gives. When Allah takes, He takes to give more. Allah never takes, He always gives. We have to make this resolution that whatever sacrifice I have to give, if I have to sacrifice myself, if I have to sacrifice my family, if I have to sacrifice my children, if I have to sacrifice my wealth, if I have to sacrifice my comfort, if I have to sacrifice my honor, come what may, I will sacrifice everything. But I will not sacrifice the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will not do anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will quote just one incident from the lives of our aslaf, our salafi salihin. Rib'i ibn Hirash, rahimahullahu ta'ala, was a great tabi'i. A person came to Hajjaj ibn Yusuf and he said that Rib'i ibn Hirash rahimahullahu ta'ala never lies. He always speaks the truth. And his two sons have disobeyed you. And when we tried to arrest them, we were unable to arrest them. And we have been informed by informers that both of them have taken refuge in the house of their father, Rib'i ibn Hirash, rahimahullahu ta'ala. We are not 100% sure. But the informers have informed us that both sons have taken refuge in the house of their father, Rib'i ibn Hirash, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And we also know through experience, everybody knows, it's common knowledge that he never lies. Now during the time of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, each person knew that anybody who disobeyed Hajjaj ibn Yusuf would be sentenced to death. Rib'i ibn Hirash, rahimahullahu ta'ala, was also aware of this fact. So Hajjaj ibn Yusuf said that send a few people with this message to Rabi ibn Hirash that Hajjaj ibn Yusuf is asking you regarding the whereabouts of your sons. And the sons are in his home. And he knows that if I speak the truth and if I say that yes, my sons are here in my home, that will be the end of my son's life. The police came to Rabi ibn Hirash rahimahullahu ta'ala. The soldiers came to Rabi ibn Hirash rahimahullahu ta'ala. And they asked him, do you have any knowledge of your sons? He said, yes, my sons are in my home. Wallahu al-musta'an. And I seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to speak the truth, even if the lives of my sons are in danger. And after speaking the truth, carrying out the command of Allah, now I seek Allah's refuge. This is the zeal we all need to have. Come what may, I will never do anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take anything from us. This message was conveyed to Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. And he was wonderstruck. He was surprised that how can a person, in order to carry out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth, put the lives of his own sons. How is it possible? And this created in his heart great respect for Rabi ibn Hirash rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he said, go tell Rabi ibn Hirash rahimahullahu ta'ala that I have forgiven his son. Let us make a firm resolution, my friends, that we will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything depends on this taqwa. This taqwa, this level of taqwa. Abstaining from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as a person acquires this level of taqwa, he becomes the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Listen carefully. The friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be no fear upon them. They will not grieve. Neither in this world nor in the hereafter. And who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqoon. The people with iman and taqwa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, inna awla an-nasi bi al-muttaqoon. From amongst people, the closest to me are those with taqwa. Which taqwa? This level of taqwa. Making sure that we do not do anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closest to me are those who have taqwa. Who have the quality of taqwa. Who do not do anything that will displease the Creator. Who carry out the faraid, who carry out the wajibat, who carry out the sunan muakkada, who make sure they abstain from haram and makruhat tahrimiya. Anything after that is bonus. Sunan ghair muakkada is bonus. Sunnat, bonus. Mustahabbat, bonus. Nafl, optional deeds, bonus. Abstaining from makruhat tanzihiya, bonus. This is all that is required from us. Abstaining from everything that displeases Allah. And that is making sure we do not omit fard, making sure we do not omit wajib, making sure we do not omit sunnah muakkada, making sure we do not carry out haram, making sure we do not carry out makruh tahrimi. Inna awla an-nas bi al-muttaqoon. From amongst people, the closest to me are those who have taqwa, this level of taqwa. حيث كانوا, wherever they may be. They don't have to be in Makkah Mukarrama. They don't have to be in Madina Munawwara. They don't have to be near me. They don't have to be in my era. They can come 1400 years after me. حيث كانوا, wherever they may be. They are closest to me. وَمَنْ كَانُوا and whomsoever they may be. They don't have to be my children. They don't have to be my Sahaba. They don't have to be Arabs. They don't have to be from the Quraysh. They don't have to be from the descendants of my family. They don't have to be from the people of Makkah Mukarrama, people of Madina Munawwara. They don't have to be anything. Whomsoever they may be, as long as they have this level of taqwa, they are closest to me. This is what is required, my friend. Taqwa. So let us first believe that this level of taqwa is possible for me. It is within my ability to adopt this level of taqwa. Let us believe this. Let us accept this. And thereafter, let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, from today, I will strive to acquire this level of taqwa. And part of this level of taqwa is tawbah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kareem, so generous, so merciful, so compassionate, that He did not say that because I have given you the ability to abstain from anything that displeases me, so taqwa means you abstain from it, end of the story. No. He did not say that. What did He say? You abstain from anything that displeases me, and if you slip, and if you do something that displeases me, then use my ni'mat of tawbah. Tawbah is part of taqwa. So when a person tries his utmost to abstain from anything that displeases Allah, and thereafter he slips, after an hour he slips, after one day he sleeps, after one week he sleeps, after one month he sleeps, he sleeps once in a while, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have become unhappy with you. If you make tawbah, I will become happy with you. And if you do not make tawbah, I will remain unhappy with you. So now part of taqwa is, to make me happy, you have to make tawbah. So make tawbah. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Make tawbah and you will become successful. Make tawbah. Tawbah is to make a U-turn. So make a U-turn and you will reach that same status upon which you were there before committing the sin. Allah is so merciful, my friend. So merciful. That He has commanded us to abstain from everything that displeases Him. And if we do slip, if we do make a mistake, if we are unable to carry out this command, then He has granted us the gift of tawbah. So taqwa and tawbah. Tawbah is part of taqwa. But let us separate both. Taqwa and tawbah, T and T. This is our mission from today, inshallah. T and T, taqwa and tawbah, this is our mission. Taqwa and tawbah. And Allah is very merciful, very merciful. He loves those people who make tawbah after committing sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who make tawbah. So who will make tawbah? The one that will sin will make tawbah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the person who disobeys me, the person who displeases me, and after disobeying me, after displeasing me, as soon as he makes tawbah, he will become my mahbub. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, At-ta'ibu habibullah. The one who makes tawbah is the habib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allama Alusi, rahimahullah ta'ala, has quoted a hadith Qudsi in his tafsir, Ru'ul Ma'ani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَأَنِينُ الْمُذْنِبِينَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ زَجْلِ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. My servants are divided into two categories, the pious and the sinners. The pious, because their lives are pure from sins, and because they have recognized me, they have my ma'rifat. So when they engage in zikrullah, they say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. May Allah be glorified. May Allah be glorified. May Allah be glorified. What comes on the tongue depends on what is in the heart. So the very pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are clean, they are pure, they have the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala embedded in their hearts. So when they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. And the other category, the sinners, because their hearts are filthy, they have not recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they have recognized themselves that I am filthy, I am sinful. So what I need to say at this stage is, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness. So one group, the group of the awliya, is saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And the group of the mudnibin, the sinners, they are saying, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And both these voices reach my ears. Allah says, I hear Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, and the crying and the weeping of the sinners. Aneen, the crying, weeping of the sinners with Astaghfirullah. And I hear the Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah of the pious. From the two, which is more beloved to me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La aneenul mudnibin, ahabbu ilayya min zajlil musabbihin. Istighfar is more beloved to me than the tasbih of the pious. Why? Because the pious are already in Jannah. The pious are already forgiven. The pious are already my friends. They are already in proximity to me. It is the sinners who are far away from me. The sinners who are heading towards Jahannam. So when they say Astaghfirullah, 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 I become delighted because I see them coming more nearer and nearer to me. I see them acquiring Jannah. I see them heading towards Jannah. I see them making a U-turn. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He appointed the kiraman katibin to note our deeds. Wa inna alaykum lahafidin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed upon you recorders. Kiraman katibin. Their names are kiraman katibin. One angel on the right, the other angel on the left. So Allah has appointed two angels for each and every person. And they are called kiraman katibin. The one on the right records the good deed, and the one on the left records the evil deed. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِذِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. They are fully aware of what you do. مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Not a single word emanates from the tongue of a person, but there is an angel who is ready and he notes down whatever is uttered. They are so particular, so particular, that minor, major, every word, every action is noted down. Significant, insignificant, everything is noted down. So much so, that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Iqra kitabak, read your book of deeds. Read your book of deeds. Read your biography. Read your biography. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. Book of deeds open in front of him. And Allah will say, اقرأ كتابك. Read your book. There is no need today for anybody else to reckon you. You reckon yourself. وَكَفَى Kafa binafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. You are enough to reckon yourself. As soon as you begin to read, with all the flashbacks, you will know that, yes, I did this. And you will know that each and everything has been recorded correctly, meticulously, and you will know whether you have more good or more evil. There is no need for anybody else to reckon you. Upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when each person will begin to read his biography, his book of deeds, what will he say? Mali hadhal kitab. This book is very, very strange. Very strange. I have never seen a book like this. La yughadiru saghiratan wala kabiratan illa ahsaha. It does not leave anything major or minor, but that it has recorded it. It has recorded each and everything, major or minor, insignificant, significant. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And people will find everything, everything in that book, what they had done in the world. So much so, that when sinners will go through that book, they will wish that there was a long distance between themselves and the day of reckoning. يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ. When each person will find in the book of deeds every good that he had committed and every evil that he had committed. تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا. He will wish at that time that I wish there was a long distance between myself and the day of reckoning. What will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do with me now? Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the Shaykh of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani, damat barakatuhum, Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani, damat barakatuhum, the likes of my Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Ludhianvi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, used to attend his majalis. Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. One of the greatest pious personalities that the world has seen. He used to say that our book of deeds are so filthy with sins that if on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to say to us that read your book of deeds. Take a glance at your book of deeds. Look at your biography. And after that, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to give us a choice that either you choose to go in the fire of hell or you let a close member of your family read this book of deeds. Either of two choices, either Jahannam, go in Jahannam, or if you want to save yourself, from the fire of Jahannam, let your wife read your book of deeds. Let your son read your book of deeds. Let your student read your book of deeds. Let your teacher read your book of deeds. Either a member of your family or someone who is closely associated to. Just one person. Just one person. Dr. Abdullah Yarifi rahimahullah ta'ala says that our book of deeds are so filthy that we will prefer to go in the fire of Jahannam than somebody looking at our book of deeds. And all this is piling up, my friends. It's all piling up. What we say is being recorded. What we do is being recorded. And Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi says in Ma'ariful Quran that every creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is working as a CID for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So when we are hiding behind closed doors and sinning, the very doors that are protecting us from the gazes of people, they will witness against us on the day of Qiyamah. The darkness that envelopes us when we are committing sins, that very darkness will witness against us on the day of Qiyamah, because it is the creation of Allah. Our friends will witness against us on the day of Qiyamah. Our limbs will witness against us on the day of Qiyamah. الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Our hands, our feet will witness against us on the day of Qiyamah. And thereafter, even the tongue will speak against us. يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلِيهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So whenever the opportunity to commit sins arise, then adopt taqwa. Adopt taqwa by reminding yourself that you are being watched. You are being watched. You are being watched. When we are speeding on the motorway, as soon as we are told that you are being watched, as soon as we are told that there is a camera, we are so busy eating, we are so busy talking, we are so busy listening to nasheed, lecture, our mind, as soon as somebody says that camera, or as soon as we see the sign of camera, the thought comes, you are being watched. And automatically our foot will go on the brake. When a person acquires the noor of taqwa, this is what happens. When the noor of taqwa is there, then automatically the foot will go on the brake. And he will apply taqwa and he will not be able to commit the sin, because he knows that I am being watched 24 hours. My late mentor, Hazrat Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, used to say that daily carry out muraqabah-e-ihsani. Sit down for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, close your eyes. Whether in the masjid before salat, after salat, whether at home, when you are relaxing on the sofa, whenever. Take out 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes in the initial stages, but daily. And close your eyes and think, my Allah is watching me with abundance of love. My Allah is watching me with extreme love. My Allah is watching me with loads of love. Just think, my Allah is watching me with loads of love. My Allah is watching me with extreme love. Let this settle in your heart and mind. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. It's like a person memorizing something. So he will say, in order to memorize, He will say, يَوْمَ تَجِدُ يَوْمَ تَجِدُ يَوْمَ تَجِدُ يَوْمَ تَجِدُ يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ.
It will settle in his heart and mind, but not strong enough yet. So he will recite it in front of his teacher. And if you ask him after half an hour, he may not be able to recite. Because it has settled in his heart and mind for a temporary period only. So he has to repeat this over and over again, revision over and over again in his hips. And a time comes when it settles in his heart and mind, so much so that even if you wake him up from his sleep and say, start reciting the Quran from here, he will be able to recite it. Over and over again, revise, close your eyes and say, my Allah is watching me with lots of love. My Allah is watching me with lots of love. 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 days, daily, twice daily, then thrice daily, then 4 times daily, half an hour daily, slowly, slowly increase, and then whilst keeping your eyes open, think. Because now it has settled. Keeping your eyes open, think. Whilst doing work, think. Whilst driving, think. A time will come, inshallah, 24 hours the thought process will be, my Allah is watching me with lots of love. You will be able to apply the break. You see, we have accepted defeat. We have accepted defeat even before trying. We have accepted defeat even before trying to acquire taqwa. So why should we try? We have accepted defeat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed 2 angels, kiram and katibin. And the one on the right is the Amir. So the one on the left, he follows the instructions of the one on the right. So when a person commits a good deed, the one on the right immediately records it. As soon as a person carries out a good deed, the one on the right immediately records it. And when a person carries out an evil deed, the one on the left, before recording this evil deed, has to take permission from the one on the right. This is the principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for both of them. And another principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for both of them, that if a person intends to carry out, he makes an intention that I want to carry out a good deed, the one on the right hand will write down one good deed for him. And if a person makes an intention to carry out an evil deed, then this one will ask this angel, shall I write it down? He will say, no, it's only an intention. So if he makes intention to do good, then he is granted one good deed. If he makes intention to do evil, the one on the right says, no, he has not committed the evil yet. So don't note anything. Don't record anything. If he carries out a good deed, then he has carried out one good deed, but the one on the right will record 10 good deeds for him. And if the sacrifice is more, if the sincerity is more, then this 10 could be 15, it could be 100, it could be 700, ila azafin kaseeratin, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how many times this good deed could be multiplied. So if a person makes an intention to carry out a good deed, he is granted one good deed. And if he carries out that good deed after making the intention, then he is granted at least 10 good deeds. And there is no limit to what more he can achieve, depending on his ikhlas, depending on the circumstances and mujahada. And if he makes intention of committing an evil deed, the angel says, no, don't write it down. And if he carries out an evil deed, then it is recorded as one evil deed. And the one on the left hand side cannot write this evil deed without asking the one on the right hand side. So when he carries out a good deed, the one on the right hand side, the Amir, he records 10 deeds immediately.
maybe 15 deeds, maybe 100 deeds immediately. And when he carries out an evil deed, then the one on the left hand side who is watching everything, he asks his Amir, can I note this down? So the one on the right hand says, no, not yet, not yet. Give him opportunity to repent. Not yet, don't record it. After a while he says, he is not repenting. Can I? So the one on the right says, no, not yet. Don't write it. After another half an hour he says, can I? After 15 minutes he says, can I? After 1 hour he says, can I? And the one on the right hand continually says, no, no, no. And angels do not do anything without the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the instruction from Allah, that when my servant commits an evil deed, the one on the left hand side will seek permission from you. You continually say no, 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 and no. Until when? Until when the time for both of them to depart into the heavens arrive. Now they have to go, because shift, 12-hour shift. So when the time for both of them to go up to the heavens arrives, the one on the right hand says, I gave him so much chance to repent. Unfortunately, he has not repented. Now we are going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with great sorrow, now write down this evil deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires not to punish us. He desires to forgive us. Hum to mail ba karam hai, koi sail hi nahi. Raah dikhlaye kise, raah rave manzil hi nahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am very, very generous. I want to give. I do not want to punish. I want to give. I do not want to punish. I want each and every creation of mine to go in Jannah, not Jahannam. But nobody is asking from me, how can I give? And nobody is asking me for guidance, and nobody is treading the right path. How can I make him walk the right path? Rahmati haq bahana mi joyat. Rahmati haq bahana mi joyat. The rahmat of haq ta'ala shanuhu does not look for abundance of amal, abundance of sacrifice. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for excuses. Excuses. Excuses to punish? No. Excuses to forgive. Excuses to forgive. Allahu Akbar. Allah looks for excuses to forgive. Bishri Hafi rahimahullahu ta'ala was once going somewhere. He was a drunkard, disobedient of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bishri Hafi rahimahullahu ta'ala, a very great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bishri Hafi rahimahullahu ta'ala. In his initial stages of life, he was a disobedient person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day he was going somewhere and his gaze fell on a paper that was lying on the ground. So he picked it up and he saw that it had the inscription Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So he cleaned the paper, he kissed the paper, he put the paper on the forehead, respecting the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He went to the shop and with whatever money he had, he bought a nice cloth and some nice perfume. And after applying perfume to this nice cloth, he wrapped that paper which contained the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this cloth, and he placed it on a very high niche in his home. Just one amal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was looking for excuses. Allah was looking for excuses. He went to sleep and he saw an angel saying, Ya Bishru, O Bishr, I have a message for you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Bishru, Tayyabta Ismi. You have honored my name. Tayyib Taismi, you have applied fragrance to my name and you have honored my name. Law tayyiban naka fid dunya wal akhirah. I promise to grant you honor in this world and the hereafter. What honor did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him in this world? Whenever we talk about him, his life is preserved, alhamdulillah. Everybody talks about him and they say, rahimahullahu ta'ala, rahmatullahi alayhi. And the likes of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala, the great muhaddis and the great faqih, upon seeing Bishre Hafi rahimahullahu ta'ala, would get up from their places. And he had so much ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so much respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was embedded in his heart so much, that he would never wear footwear. He would say, how can I walk on the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with footwear? It's like me and you saying, how can I walk in the masjid with footwear? How can I walk in Haram Sharif with footwear? How can I walk on the earth of Allah? This earth belongs to Allah. How can I walk on it with footwear? It is for this reason his name became Al-Hafi, Bishra Al-Hafi, the one who does not wear footwear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him so much in this world that Allah knew where he was going to go and through which street he is going to pass. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to control the animals. And the path through which Bishr-e Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi was going to walk today, tomorrow, after a few days, Allah would protect it from the filth of the animals. And in the hereafter, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him? Somebody saw Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala in his dream. And he said, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with you? So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi said, Allah granted me this and Allah granted me this and Allah granted me this and Allah behaved in this manner. Allah is very happy with me. Thereafter the person said, what about Bishr-e Hafi rahimahullahu ta'ala? Because Bishr-e Hafi rahimahullahu ta'ala had passed away before Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala. What about Bishr-e Hafi rahimahullahu ta'ala? Can you tell me something about Bishr-e Hafi rahimahullahu ta'ala? He said, oh Bishr-e Hafi. Imam Ahmad said, oh Bishr-e Hafi. You are talking about Bishr-e Hafi. I have just left him in front of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am just coming from the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have left him in front of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered the malaika to spread dastarkhan for him in front of his arsh. And I saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inviting Bishr-e Hafi on his own as a VIP, special guest on that dastarkhan. And with all the ni'mats and the bounties on that dastarkhan, I heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to Bishr-e Hafi, oh my servant, eat, eat. Eat the ni'mats of Jannah, because when you were in the world, you used to stay hungry to please me. And O Bishr-e Hafi, drink, drink, drink from the drinks of Jannah, because when you were in the world, you used to remain thirsty for me. Tayyab Taismi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for excuses. Looks for excuses. Let us strive to give Allah an excuse to forgive us, my friends. We are not even striving to give Allah an excuse to forgive us. My late father, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was very, very particular in regard to carrying out good amal. And one great thing I saw in my father was that he was far, far, far away from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Far away from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would very much dislike talking about anybody. He would very much dislike people talking about other people. Ghibah, backbiting, accusation, slander, no. Very, very clean hearted. No grudge in his heart for anybody. No disliking for anybody. When he passed away, my respected Ustad, my respected teacher, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Hashim Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, who is also the cousin of my mother, so he is my uncle, he is also related to me. So, he is my teacher, he is my sheikh, and he is also my uncle. When I met him after the funeral of my father, he led the janaza salat of my father. When I met him after the funeral of my father, he said, in a nutshell, what will you say about your father if you were asked? In a nutshell. So spontaneously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this thought in my mind. Because I never thought about my father before that. Spontaneously I said, Hazrat, in a nutshell I would say that my father has left this world in a state that neither he is unhappy with anybody nor anybody else is unhappy with him. Very, very particular in regard to abstaining from this disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and carrying out a'mal. Every little amal that he could muster, he would try to accumulate. Every little amal. Every little amal. One day I was sleeping and he came very early in the morning to wake me up. He said, wake up, beta. So I woke up. I looked at the time and I said, Father, it is still 2 more hours before Fajr Salat. So he said, yes, I know, but get up. Because there is a Haji who is coming. And he will soon be arriving at his home and we want to go and meet him. So I said, we can go after Fajr. I was young, I wanted to sleep. I said, we can go after Fajr. So he said, no. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that when the Haji arrives, before he enters his home, ask him to ask forgiveness for you, Allah will forgive you. So he said, before he enters the house, we want to ask him to ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come on, beta, wake up. His life was very, very ajeeb. Years and years, ishraq in his life, tahajjud in his life. Tahajjud in his life. Even during the summer months, immediately after the Isha Salat, he would come home, retire to bed, go to sleep for half an hour, three quarter of an hour, snore, sleep, and then get up for tahajjud and perform his tahajjud before 1:30. Awwabin, tahiyyatul masjid, tahiyyatul wuzu. Whatever he knew, he did his best to carry out. So sometimes when I used to feel that he is going out of his way to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and my thought process, because I was looking at black and white, the masail and the ilm that I had studied whilst in Darul Ulum, I was thinking to myself that he is oppressing himself. He is not an alim. And because he is not an alim, he cannot differentiate between fard, between nafal. This was my thought process. He doesn't need to go out of his way to do all this. Why does he do all this? He will never miss a funeral. Never miss a funeral. He will always be there to give ghusl to the deceased. He will make sure that he visits the sick in the hospital. He will make sure he visits the sick at his home. And he was given a card by the Leicester City Council, so that he is able to go and visit the patient in the hospital. So when we used to come with him to Batley or Dewsbury or anywhere else, he was not aware that this card can be used only in Leicester. So out of hours, if he came to know that somebody is unwell in Batley or in Dewsbury, he would say, take me to the hospital. So we would say, but you can't use this card at this time. So he said, no, they've given me the card. Whenever I go in the hospital in Leicester, they always allow me. And he would insist that, no, I want to go. So one day I said to him, he used to respect me a lot. He had lot of respect for ilm. He used to respect me a lot. He gave me a lot of respect. So I was able to say to him what my older brothers could not say. So one day I said to him, Father, you're overdoing it. If it's snowing, you go to the masjid for salat. You don't have to. You are 70 years old now. You have pain in your knees. If you slip, if you break your bone, what will happen to you? If you fracture your bone, if you break your bone. So you don't have to do all this. Inshallah, you've been performing salat with jamaat for so many years. So even if you perform your salat at home, Allah will grant you the same reward. So once I told him, quiet. Twice I told him, quiet. In another gathering I told him. A few times I told him, he just kept quiet, remained quiet. Thereafter when he thought that he is very persistent, he said, My son, I know my a'mal will not be able to save me and grant me salvation on the day of Qiyamah. I know my a'mal will not be able to grant me salvation. He said, only Allah's mercy will be able to save me on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah's mercy will look for an excuse. And I don't know whether that excuse has entered my book of deeds or not. Allah will show me mercy, and for that mercy you need an excuse. And I don't know whether that excuse, that is why I am toiling, I am striving to make sure that when I am resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will say that this amal is the excuse that will take you in Jannah. This is the condition of the pious people. So my friends, we are not so pious. So let us at least try to do whatever we are able to do so that our amal can become an excuse. Any amal may become an excuse. And Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say that any thought that enters our mind is a guest. And when you entertain a guest, he returns. And if you do not entertain your guest, he will not return. So if the thought of carrying out a good deed enters your heart and mind, entertain it and carry it out, this thought will come again. And if you do not entertain it, this thought will not come again. So I was saying, my friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for excuses. He looks for excuses. So let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, from today, we will exert every effort to become muttaqeen. We will make sure that we do not do anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we do, we will immediately repent, make tawbah, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. Inshallah, this taqwa, tawbah, taqwa, tawbah, taqwa, tawbah, this cycle with two wheels, taqwa, tawbah, taqwa, tawbah, taqwa, tawbah, will take us direct into Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa laaqibatu lil muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك. اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين الله كثيرا. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرج الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة، فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين، اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين، واجعلنا من المتطهرين، واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين. اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين، اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك الصديقين. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء، اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. Have mercy upon us. O the most merciful one, have mercy upon us. O the most forgiving, forgive our sins. Forgive our major sins, forgive our minor sins. O the most forgiving, forgive the sins of our parents, forgive the sins of our families, forgive the sins of our wives and children, forgive the sins of our associates and friends, forgive the sins of our well-wishers, forgive the sins of the whole ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of the whole ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of the whole ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to prepare for the life hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to abstain from everything that displeases you. And O Allah, grant us the tawfiq to do everything that pleases you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the deceit of shaitan and nafs. Save us from the snares of shaitan and nafs. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the wickedness of shaitan and nafs. Save us from the evils of shaitan and nafs. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with your recognition and ma'rifah. Enlighten our hearts with your love. Enlighten our hearts with the love of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Enlighten our hearts with yaqeen. Enlighten our hearts with iman. Enlighten our hearts with good traits and akhlaqi hasana. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, purify our hearts from kufr, from shirk, from nifaq. Purify our hearts from evil traits, akhlaqi radila. O Arhamur Rahimeen, keep us steadfast on your deen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, for as long as you keep us in this world, keep us on Islam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, when you take us from this world, take us with iman. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, take us from this world whilst we are reciting the kalima. Take us from this world whilst we are in Medina Munawwara, Makkah Mukarrama. O Arhamur Rahimeen, take us from this world whilst you are pleased with us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, take us from this world whilst we are in your remembrance, whilst we are in sajda and ruku. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from an evil departure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from an evil departure. Save us from an evil departure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, we are very weak. O Arhamur Rahimeen, we are very weak. We need your assistance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, without your assistance, without your help, we will never be able to succeed against shaitan and nafs. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your assistance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your help. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your guidance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your supervision. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your love. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your attention. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the horrors of the grave. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the punishment of the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us shade under your mercy, under your throne on the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us our book of deeds in our right hand. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, make the pul sirat easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from your anger. Save us from your anger. Save us from your anger. O Allah, save us from your punishment. Save us from your punishment. O Allah, save us from your punishment. O Arhamur Rahimeen. O Arhamur Rahimeen. O Arhamur Rahimeen. Save us from your displeasure. O Allah, grant us your refuge from your displeasure. O Allah, grant us your refuge from your displeasure. O Allah, grant us your refuge from the calamities of this world and the hereafter. O Allah, grant us your refuge from the evils of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entry into Jannah. Grant us the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus. O Arhamur Rahimeen, we are not deserving of anything. O Arhamur Rahimeen, each and every second of our lives, we have done nothing but sin against you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Allah. O Allah, have mercy upon us without our deserving it. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, only through your fadl, only through your grace, only through your mercy will we be able to succeed in this world and also in the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, we seek your refuge, we seek your help, we seek your assistance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the good of this world and the hereafter. Save us from the evils of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, every good that your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked from you, grant it to us. Every evil from which your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seek refuge, grant us refuge from it. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept our gathering here today. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept the lectures and the advices of our respected ulama. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept each and every individual who has participated in this gathering today. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept each and every individual who has participated from home. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept each and every individual who has strived towards making this program successful. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to have respect for the ulama, respect for the mashayikh. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept each and every good work that is taking place throughout the world. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant it acceptance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, we seek your mercy, we seek your refuge, we seek your compassion. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept our prayers. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma kulna khayr li kulli muslimin wa muslimah. Allahumma rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khayrul rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.